This is KVNF's regional newscast for Friday, March 19th. I'm Gavin Dahl. Live music is ready for a comeback, even if things look different this week. Telluride's Parks and Rec Commission approved a request by the organizers of the Telluride Bluegrass Festival to spread the event out over two weekends instead of just the solstice weekend in June. Organizers have to decide between the one and two weekend approaches by mid-April, but Craig Ferguson suggests they are leaning toward two smaller weekends.
Day by day, it's becoming very clear to us that the second weekend would not be larger than a minor event really under any circumstances, and we feel like it's time to best plan for two small events. I'm assuming that we're going to decide before too long to go with two minor events as opposed to one.
The two-weekend request still has to pass one more local commission. The town of Hotchkiss appointed a new trustee to replace Chris Hillman. The North Fork Merchant Herald reports residential home builder and trails construction expert Sven Edstrom was appointed at the town's March 11th meeting. His term will go until April of next year. Meanwhile, the town decided not to lease water shares from the Overland Ditch and Reservoir Company. After previously rejecting bids, the trustees decided to retain the water, citing another dry summer on the way. This week, transportation officials presented their final plans for a massive highway improvement project between Gunnison and Montrose that will cause significant delays for almost 2 years. KBUT's Christopher Biddle reports.
For the first year, travelers on U.S. Highway 50 will have only 5 hours a day to pass through the Little Blue Creek Canyon, about 30 miles west of Gunnison. 2 hours from 6:30 to 8:30 a.m., 1 hour from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m., and 2 hours from 5:30 to 7:30. Starting at 5:30 on Friday, two-way traffic will be allowed through the weekend. Kathleen Vonatovich is a public information manager for the project.
Our current messaging is expect 30-minute to one-hour delays during the roadway opening windows. But hopefully when you're driving through, you're thinking about all those safety improvements that are going to happen in the canyon.
Plans include widening the road, installing a climbing lane, and adding a runaway truck ramp. Construction begins in April and is estimated to run through November 2022. It will cost $40 million, which comes out to $10 million per mile. It's being paid for through federal grants and matching funds from the Colorado Department of Transportation. For KBUT and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Christopher Biddle.
Colorado Democrats are reviving a push to bring down health insurance costs for those who buy it on the individual market. But as KVNF's Scott Franz reports for Capital Coverage, their latest bill has changed dramatically.
The new proposal is an ultimatum from state government to Colorado's healthcare industry. Lower premiums by 20% in the next 2.5 years, or lawmakers will step in to create a new insurance plan. Representative Dylan Roberts of Avon is leading the effort.
So that will drive everybody in the healthcare industry, I believe, to the table. The hospitals will have to give something, the insurance companies will have to give something, pharmaceuticals will have to give something.
Lawmakers shelved another version of the so-called public insurance option last year because of the pandemic. It would have limited how much hospitals can charge and created a new insurance plan controlled by the government. Healthcare providers continue to oppose it, saying it could destabilize the market. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
For Sunshine Week, I asked Jason Sperling, the co-founder of People Speak, how their platform helps local governments, including the city of Grand Junction, give citizens an easier way to interact with what's relevant to them.
So the idea behind People Speak is really from the citizen's perspective, that we want to make it really easy for me as a citizen to participate in the things that are happening in my city, whether I can actually make the public hearing or the public meeting. All of the information is put up online. Staff will create presentations that are the same presentations that they give during the live meetings. They'll record them as videos and then put those up online. And then citizens are able to review that information sometimes weeks before the meeting, ask questions, provide comments that become part of the public record, and essentially get to have the same experience that they would as if they're at the actual live meeting. At the conclusion of the live meeting, then the vote is taken and that vote is posted and those citizens are notified. So the idea is that we're trying to remove the time and place constraints on current public meetings, because we don't really think it's as much as they're meant to be open. We don't really think they are that open from a sort of pure logistics standpoint. It's really hard for me. I'm a father. I've got a job. It's really hard for me to get down to the meetings in person, but I can certainly participate if I'm able to do so on my own time and from wherever I feel like it. So that's the basic idea presented as a web page that you can take a look at. Right now, you can go to GJ Speaks, the Grand Junction site. I think the one for the March 22nd meeting has some 28 comments from citizens. And really, our argument is that those folks who are participating and able to see all of the information otherwise would not necessarily. And we've seen that in the different counties that we've worked out, in different cities that we've worked out across Colorado and beyond.
And so that's gjspeaks.org if folks want to check out what People Speak is doing in partnership with the city of Grand Junction. Montrose County uses Granicus, which tends to be pricey, but has long been considered kind of the industry standard for basic local government meeting archives. Delta County does not currently offer any video recordings of county commissioner meetings. We spoke to county manager Robbie LaValle, and she told KVNF recently that cameras were on back order. I don't have updated info on that, but I did hear from a KVNF listener that she had to file a Colorado Open Records Act request simply to get an audio recording of a meeting about the revised land use statutes here. Jason, have you seen governments struggle to obtain equipment due to the pandemic?
Yeah, so I think we haven't seen that firsthand, but what we have experienced is that in general, cities and governments are really struggling during the pandemic. You know, supply chains are disrupted across every industry, and certainly for getting equipment, things that are maybe manufactured overseas, that's going to be challenging. But I think the sort of even bigger picture is that it's just challenging to go from live meetings where you already have a facility that folks can come to all of a sudden needing to be able to either broadcast from that facility to people at home, or to be able to hold a webinar. And we've seen a lot of folks struggle with managing like a Zoom type webinar platform. And so Granicus, similar platforms like that depend on heavy equipment that has heavy costs, as well as having operator training and skill that's needed. We're more of an advocate of a more of a hybrid approach where you can work with your in-person sort of equipment facility and settings, and then also with a remote participation facilitated either through something like Zoom or through our platform that's asynchronous, or some combination of all of them. What we do with our platform is actually support all sorts of different live streams coming from webinars or from things like open media. And the idea is that we want to enable citizens to have the ability to access information either prior, as I mentioned in the beginning, or during the live meeting. And in the case of a live meeting, you can use things like Microsoft Teams, Zoom, open media. You can stream anything to Facebook and YouTube and pull those in. So ultimately, what we're really focused on is like sort of this transparency at every step of the way.
Jason Sperling is co-founder of People Speak. Where can people find out more?
They can go to our website, peoplespeak.net.
Thanks so much for your time, Jason.
You bet. Thanks, Gavin.
And happy Sunshine Week. That does it for Friday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. We are counting on your support during the spring membership drive. Call 866-KVNF now or 527-4868. You can also donate online at kvnf.org. I'm Gavin Dahl.